So good morning. You won't get the Crocodile Dundee accent in case you were expecting that. I am American, but living in Australia. So thank you. I'd like to give this morning just to give an overview of really what we've learned so far about adverse events in children following 2010 Southern Hemisphere influenza vaccination. So in April of last year, an increase in fevers in young children, febrile seizures were observed following the use of the 2010 Southern Hemisphere trivalent inactivated influenza vaccine, or TIV. Subsequent epidemiologic investigations undertaken in different states in Australia demonstrated that this increased risk for febrile seizures and fevers were associated primarily with the CSL vaccine, marketed in Australia as Fluvax or Fluvax Junior. It's worth noting that the Australian government solicited reports of adverse events in children in all children under the age of 10 following receipt of an influenza vaccine when these adverse events came to light. In terms of fever, as in this case as reported by parents, a survey showed that children under 3 years of age, the rate of fevers were 40 to 50 reports per 1,000 doses distributed compared to 5 per 1,000 doses distributed for a non-CSL TIV, which was available at the same time. A New Zealand telephone survey conducted about 6 to 12 weeks after the vaccination period evaluated fever in the first 24 hours after vaccination among children less than 5 years of age. Parents reported 27% occurrence of fever in those receiving the CSL vaccine compared with 7% in those children who had received the non-CSL TIV. Febrile seizures were either reported by parents or documented by clinicians. In the state of Western Australia, which vaccinated many more healthy children against influenza as part of a 3-year demonstration program, an uncontrolled cohort study estimated the rate of febrile seizures at 7 to 10 per 1,000 doses distributed for the CSL vaccine in children less than 3 years, and 1.5 to 14 per 1,000 doses distributed in children 3 to 5 years, although in that older age group, a substantially smaller number of cases were observed, hence the wider range. And no febrile seizures were reported in children over the age of 5 years. A different controlled cohort study using denominator data from the Australian Childhood Immunization Register estimated a risk ratio for febrile seizures for children under 5 years of approximately 5, comparing those vaccinated with the CSL-TIV to those not vaccinated in 2010. Among the reported cases of febrile seizures, the peak incidence was in children 1 to 2 years of age, with a slight preponderance of males, which corresponds to the known epidemiology of febrile seizures, typical febrile seizures irrespective of their etiology. By comparison, there were only a small number of seizure cases reported associated with vaccination to CSL prior to 2010, and most of these were in adults with underlying epilepsy or other or were poorly documented cases. The vast majority of the febrile seizures and fever reported occurred in the 24 hours after vaccination, in particular approximately 8 hours following vaccination. The duration of reported febrile seizures ranged from 15 seconds to up to 40 minutes, but the majority were of short duration. 13% of cases reported were in children with coexisting factors such as concomitant vaccinations, known epilepsy, concurrent infections, or other chronic underlying medical conditions. So there were no specific clinical or epidemiologic factors such as circulating infectious agents, which offered a plausible explanation for these observed events. Associated respiratory symptoms were less common among children experiencing post-vaccination febrile seizures compared with those not associated with vaccination. Similarly, the short time to onset suggests that concomitant viral illness was not a likely explanation for the majority of these events. As mentioned, regarding the known epidemiology, the mean age of children was the same among vaccinated and unvaccinated febrile seizure cases, and approximately 30% of children with febrile seizures had TIV in the previous year. Analyses of Australian U.S. CSL clinical trial data, monovalent H1N1 vaccine, which was not associated with an observed post-vaccination febrile seizures, showed that prior TIV and baseline seropositivity to the pandemic H1N1 strain were associated with a significantly lower likelihood of fever. So extensive root cause investigations, which are underway, are seeking to answer two questions. First, why did this 2010 TIV induce increased febrile events in children? What's the mechanism of action? Is it due to the inherent characteristics of the influenza strains in the 2010 vaccine? And if so, is it a single strain within the vaccine or a single culprit, or could it be all three strains acting in combination? Furthermore, we'd like to know how we could use these findings to preempt the likelihood of such events occurring with future formulations of the vaccine. The objective of the investigations has been to evaluate the bioactivity and pyrogenicity of the CSL 2010 TIV, the MPHs, which is the monovalent pool harvest, or the individual viral strains in the vaccine, and comparator TIVs to determine a root cause. Very early on, investigations were undertaken to assess for any quality or manufacturing issues. No issues were identified which implicated either a specific batch, ineffective virus inactivation or splitting, presence of bacterial contaminants or other endotoxin-like substances. Two audits by the Australian regulator TGA and the US FDA, and one by the US FDA, identified no major issues. As mentioned, we've already ruled out a number of potential issues, including issues with vaccine potency, bacterial contamination, presence of viral particles, live virus, contaminants, or excess RNA, and both rabbit and cell line studies conducted at the FDA have demonstrated no endotoxin-like effects. From investigations from the Australian TGA, we do see that in each manufacturer's influenza vaccine indeed does have demonstrates a unique protein profile, but the exact significance is yet to be understood. One investigator in Australia reported differential expression of certain cytokines between the 2010 CSL vaccine compared with the non-CSL 2010 TIV or earlier CSL TIVs, and a ferret study at CDC demonstrated an increased body temperature from baseline at 4 and 8 hours after vaccination in those animals that had received the CSL compared to the non-CSL TIVs. And there's also further mass spectrometry work underway at CDC. And the most recent activities at CSL include, and I'm not going to go through all these, but they include a battery of analyses both in vitro and in vivo. And these consist of cytokine activation studies in adult and pediatric whole blood, genomic analyses of blood from both humans as well as non-human primates, ferret studies, and studies to evaluate the content and activity of the influenza neuraminidase that's in the vaccine. These studies have either been completed or will be in the coming months. So what's happening in 2011? We're supporting active surveillance studies in both Australia and New Zealand. In Australia, there will be a prospective cohort study in children 5 to 18 years of age who may have received any influenza vaccine. And in New Zealand, another prospective observational study will evaluate children less than 18 years of age as well as adults 18 years and over who may have received a CSL vaccine. So in summary, CSL has had a long history, about 40 years of manufacturing and distributing influenza vaccine, and the events of 2010 were truly unprecedented. There's been a large body of work done to date and ongoing to establish root cause, with many of these activities completed and others ongoing, and extensive collaboration with public health, regulatory, and academic entities worldwide. Sorry. Manufacturing quality issues have been ruled out as a root cause, and the root cause is likely to be found in the realm of viral biology and the particular method of manufacture of the CSL vaccine. We're highly committed to trying to find an answer and support the ACIP recommendations restricting the use of CSLs TIV in children over age 9 years in the United States. Ongoing surveillance in older children and adults in 2011 will help to verify the safety profile of the vaccine in these older age groups. And finally, I'd like to acknowledge the following individuals and groups for their contribution to these activities. Thank you.